the Desert. I'm Haley Stasiak here with Jordan Hamm. Not the way the Diamondbacks wanted to come back to Phoenix. They are 0-2 now in the NLDS against the Dodgers. The final out of LA tonight, 8-5. Jordan, a bunch of defensive miscues. I mean, the Dodgers were just on at the plate and aggressive at the plate as well as on the bases. But ultimately, it was the different defensive miscues all around that hurt the Diamondbacks tonight.
Yeah, you saw Ketel Marte with a tough error with the bases loaded. Seemed like Chris Iannetta got wrapped up a couple of times with Robbie Ray's pitches that was able to advance runners. And really, I mean, what Robbie Ray had a no-hitter going into the third or fourth inning, but the Dodgers were able to score, I believe, three runs without getting a hit. So Robbie Ray kind of did hit their work for themselves, walking four, hit by pitch also early on to get some runners in. And it was one of those things where he was kind of able to stifle those bats when it was in the strike zone, but then, you know, he got to 88 pitches, had to be taken out. Jimmy Scherfe, the rookie, came in, gave up three earned runs, and that's when the bats seemed to come alive, and by then it was kind of out of hand for the Diamondbacks as the Dodgers were able to go up 7-2 at that point.
One thing that was interesting to note for me out of Robbie Ray's performance, though, is that he was struggling to keep the composure and control, but at the same time, you could see the glimmers of it, and you could see that it was there. It just wasn't something that he could achieve.
Yeah, when it was in the strike zone, I mean, they weren't touching it. There's a reason that he wasn't, you know, giving up any hits at that point, but as we said last night, in the case of Justin Turner, and this is true with, you know, you go Chris Taylor, Corey Seager, Justin Turner, even to a degree Cody Bellinger, who had a rough night, Logan Forsyth, Austin Barnes, really everybody except Puig in this lineup, they have a really good plate control. So they aren't going to swing at much outside of the zone, and they're going to take what they're given, and you know, they're confident that the guys behind them in the lineup can knock them in. So again, this is something that, you know, Robbie Ray put a lot of runners on. His pitch count went way up, and the Dodgers didn't need to swing the bat much to be effective.
The Diamondbacks were still able to limit some of the damage that could have been done. There were a couple instances where they did get out of those innings where runners were in scoring position and Dodgers were threatening to just put up more runs on the Diamondbacks. If you're Torey Lovello, what are you trying to do at this point?
I mean, just hang on for dear life. Your back's up against the wall right now. You're in an elimination game every game for the remainder of this series. So, and this is the best team in baseball on paper, and they're proving it right now that this is the best team. So you're going to really need to hunker down. You're going to need, last night I said that you need a Clayton Kershaw-esque performance out of Robbie Ray. You didn't get that. You're going to need a dominant performance out of Zach Greinke game three, and then get a little creative in game four and five. And honestly, you're probably going to need a little bit of luck as well. You're going to need some things to go your way, and that just hasn't happened for the Diamondbacks as of late.
Lineup wise, are you putting Marte in the lineup on Monday?
Yes. You know, he had another hit today. He was 5-for-9. Now he is, 6-for-13 with a run scored. I mean, obviously had the costly error there, but that wasn't a, you know, necessarily a make or break. He's still a young player. He has a ton of experience as a young player, but, you know, it's one mistake. And I feel more confident putting in a Ketel Marte there than an Adam Rosales, Negrin. You know, I think he's the best option, and the way he's swinging that back from both sides of the plate, I think he's the way to go.
Brandon Drury had a three-run shot in the seventh. On the broadcast with TBS, they were talking about how Lovello could have gone to a lefty. What do you think went into Lovello's decision to put Brandon in that pinch-hitting spot?
Well, I think that he's, you know, he's definitely struggled in the second half, but he has shown the capability to have a little bit of pop, and it seems like with Torey Lovello, he does for lack of a better term, have a little bit of a long leash for his position starters. And, you know, throughout the season, we've seen that with his starting pitchers as well. He has a lot of trust in those guys. So he'll give them an opportunity. Maybe if he didn't deliver there, he might have, you know, brought in another batter defensively to fill in for Brandon Drury. But, you know, when you're looking at that bench, who were you going to bring in? Daniel Descalzo was already in the game. Jake Lamb was already in the game. Those are two of your better left-handed bats that could be coming off the bench, but they're already starting. So I think that it was one of those things where it wasn't too big of a thought process to have Drury go in, and he obviously delivered.
It was Mara's first home run allowed in 2017. On another side note there, with that big hit by Drury, it kind of changed the tone of the game, and there was a glimmer of maybe the Diamondbacks could come back and make something happen here. Descalzo wasn't producing. What do you think the process will be between deciding if Drury or Descalzo get the start on Monday?
Well, I think, you know, as we say almost every podcast, Torey Lovello has a process for everything. So I'm sure he's going to look at the bare numbers with Brandon Drury and Daniel Descalzo against Yu Darvish. Also, he stressed putting out the best defense to try to limit those runs. You know, the Dodgers have scored a lot of runs, so anything that they can do to either ease Zach Greinke's mind coming into Game 3 or just to, provide some more range in the defense. I think if you're going from that approach, you'll probably lean Daniel Descalzo. But, you know, I'm sure he's looking at the deep analytics. Mike Hazen and his team have a lot of really good research at their disposal, and they've been able to utilize that a lot, and that's led to them having 93 wins in the regular season and has gotten them to the division series. So I'm sure they're going to kind of scour that, but at the same time, I think Torey Lovello knows this team, and kind of in his gut, he has an idea already of who will be in at second base.
Paul Goldschmidt with a big two-run homer in the first. For me, watching this game, it was kind of like, all right, this is a little bit of a parallel to Wednesday night's big wild card win. As you're watching this game, we discussed obviously all the different things that went wrong for the Diamondbacks, but what was it exactly for you where you were just like, all right, there's no coming back from this, the damage has been done?
You know, I think it was those middle innings when, you know, they were able to knock Ray out, and then Scherfe came in. And look, I think Jimmy Scherfe is going to have a very good career in Major League Baseball. We've already seen he had a very hot start where he had something like 12 and a third innings where he didn't give up a run to start his career. But when you saw the ball start to jump off the bat against the Dodgers, you knew that it was kind of the realization that they had already scored four runs off of Robbie Ray without having to put many balls in play. And then they were starting to do that against Scherfe, and it was kind of who was going to stop the bleeding. I think the most consistent reliever in this bullpen is Archie Bradley, and, you know, it was too early to go to him. Scherfe was struggling. They were able to bring in De La Rosa. He was able to kind of clean it up. But by then, it was 7-2. And really, if it wasn't for this Brandon Drury home run, it's one of those things where, kind of across the board, this was a pretty dominant win for the Dodgers.
On the topic of Archie Bradley, we saw, obviously, his big triple on Wednesday night. But then that next inning, he came out and pitched and wasn't lights out as we normally see out of him. And then tonight he also wasn't lights out. Does that kind of give you any worry as you come into Monday?
I don't think so, because the one run scored against him was unearned, and it was right at Ketel Marte, where that could have potentially been a double play ball where they get out of it. And yeah, it was a tough situation to be in with a lot of base runners on, but he also struck out four in two innings. So I don't think there's much to worry about against Bradley. This Dodgers lineup is going to hit. So, that's something that's just going to happen with these guys. They're going to put the ball in play. They're going to hit the ball hard. He gave up two hits, and he walked one guy and had one unearned run. So I'm not too worried about the status of Archie Bradley.
When you're watching these games, do you feel a different, and maybe it's because it's in L.A., you don't have your Diamondbacks fans there, but you kind of feel a different vibe coming from this team?
I feel like in the beginning of the game, the past two games, it's been a little frantic, at least with the starting pitchers. Taiwan Walker, you know, didn't get through an inning. We know he has a history of kind of letting the emotions get the best of him. I think the same thing can be said a little bit for Robbie Ray. For a while, he was inefficiently effective, where he was throwing a ton of pitches, but he was still getting outs. And then, you know, in playoff baseball, you can't play that game too long before you're going to get bit, and that's exactly what happened. But I think it is concerning in all three of these postseason games that they've had. The starting pitchers have combined for 9 1/3 innings. So, you know, that's obviously a huge area of concern. No matter how good your bullpen is, and no matter, you know, how many starters you're able to slide back into that bullpen to give some more flexibility, you need one of these pitchers at some point to go at least six innings. You know, throughout the year, Torrey Lovello talked about getting those 21 outs. Hell, I think he'd take 15 outs of, you know, less than three earned runs at this point, and having a little bit of effectiveness, because it's not only not going deep in the ball games, but you're also throwing a ton of pitches where at some point your bandwidth in terms of, you know, arm durability is going to run out. So, you know, you need to have a guy that's efficient, that eats up innings, and is able to just put them in a winning position. And we haven't seen that out of a starter yet this postseason.
Yu Darvish for the Dodgers on Monday, Matt Greinke for the Diamondbacks. We talk about the defensive miscues, that's got to be fixed. We talk about just the underperformance at the plate for the Diamondbacks, that's got to be fixed. But going up against Yu Darvish, who I believe is 2-0 and has a .47 ERA in his last couple of starts, he's going to be a tough matchup for these guys.
Yeah, and a guy that they're generally unfamiliar with. You know, this was a midseason acquisition, much like J.D. Martinez. A lot of these National League pitchers hadn't seen a ton of Martinez, and you know, you could put a small bit of his success towards that unfamiliarity. The Diamondbacks are going to have to get real familiar with Yu Darvish very quickly and try to get to that bullpen of the Dodgers, because right now that's relatively untapped. Both of these starters, you know, didn't go super deep in the game, but they've been able to piece together. I'm looking at tonight, you know, Brandon Morrow goes one inning. Cingriani goes a third of an inning. Fields, a third of an inning. Maeda, one inning. Kenley Jansen, you know, 1 2/3. And then Watson, 2/3 as well. So they threw a lot of guys tonight, but I'm counting four of those pitchers threw 10 pitches or less. And Jansen went 1 2/3, but he threw 18 pitches. So, you know, the fatigue factor won't be there. And even you look at Brandon Morrow, 14 pitches. These guys were incredibly effective to be efficient and stay fresh for this next game and beyond.
Who are the guys on this roster that you're looking at to get the big hit or make the big play for the Diamondbacks on Monday?
I think A.J. Pollock's a guy that, you know, he's in that second position in the lineup. He's had a pretty good postseason so far, both offensively and defensively. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to have to be a table setter for Paul Goldschmidt, for J.D. Martinez, potentially Jake Lamb, wherever he ends up. This is going to be the first time that we'll see a right-handed pitcher in this division series. So I think it's safe to assume that Lamb will be up in the five spot protecting Martinez, but you never really know, you know, especially if Iannetta's hitting and that sort of thing. Potentially Marte could go up there as well. But I think Pollock's definitely a table setter. And, you know, in the case of Torrey Lovello, I don't think he really cares where the production comes from as long as they get some production. And they've done a nice job scoring runs. It's just scoring runs when they're already down by five or six runs. And then, you know, they get into striking distance but just not able to pull it out. So I think the offense is doing a decent job of scoring runs, but I think more importantly is just being able to limit those runs on the Dodgers' side.
Well, I mean, the Diamondbacks have 6 home runs in these last 2 games. So that in itself is just kind of showing that the offensive production is somewhat there. It's just getting those key hits at the key moments that Lovello has mentioned all season is what has changed this team and the tempo that they have every single game. So again, my keys for this upcoming game on Monday are definitely the offense as well, and then communication on defense. I think that was what was lacking tonight, and that was part of the problem.
Yeah, and you mentioned the 6 home runs last night, 4 solo shots tonight. Paul Goldschmidt with the 2-run home run, and then Brandon Drury with the 3-run home run. So a sign of optimism, I guess, for the offense is they're getting guys on, and then they're able to drive them in at a more efficient rate. So that's something to keep a lookout for, and obviously this team plays a little bit better at home. I'm sure Chase Field's going to be jumping. They want to protect their home field as much as they can, so I wouldn't be surprised if the Diamondbacks come out and win this game 3, and then, you know, game 4 is kind of a crapshoot, especially when you're trying to figure out who's going to be pitching. But, you know, should definitely be an interesting game with Greinke and Yu Darvish going.
Diamondbacks Dodgers return to Phoenix on Monday. If needed, they will play a game 4 on Tuesday. Zach Greinke getting the start for the Diamondbacks, Yu Darvish for the Dodgers. Thanks for listening to Diamonds in the Desert. Be sure to check out sports360az.com for more Diamondbacks and postseason coverage.
Cool.
Honestly, I think we do better like this.
I think we might too.
And I think part of it is because I don't have, like, I haven't been looking at my computer these past 2 nights. Like, I have my TV pulled up, but I haven't been, like, making sure that I have all this. It's just, like, I've been letting it flow, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, I mean, obviously it helps, because there have been weeks where we've sat down and I'll be like, crap, I watched, like, half of one game.
Yeah, especially but those away games.
Yeah, we've both been watching, you know, from beginning to end and that sort of thing, so that definitely helps. But yeah, I think getting less into the stats and more into the kind of just game flow has
yeah,
been good.
Yeah, and it's easier when, like you said, the game just happened and you can watch it and talk about it when you're not talking about a series.